Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Anybody watch the Dateline NBC special on the missing mom last night?
So this morning.
Right.
Yeah, not last night.
Yeah.
No. I was, I've been following this thing, as most people in Connecticut have been, and I was really looking forward to sitting on the couch last night and watching and yelling at the screen.
Right.
And then I found that it's on at 10 and runs to 11. I'm like, can't do it.
No can do.
Can't do it.
No can do.
So we recorded it here. I watched it this morning. If you did not see it, then you only missed what we're going to play you.
Yep.
The first 40 minutes, just going through the timeline.
Taking you through it, yep.
They had this NBC Connecticut reporter, what's her face?
Shannon Miller,
bringing us through it. I don't know. What was the, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you live in Connecticut, you know there was nothing like, oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
There's nothing new.
No.
I did think that she did a great job, though. Just going through, it can get very complicated. I thought she did a great job explaining it.
I thought she was boring, but because it's a really compelling case, and I felt like it was done in a style that felt like every other case. You know, this one's different. But let's get to the moment. Like, I thought Norm's piece was interesting because he's one of those characters, and then they get the photos. So we broke it into two clips.
Jennifer was always a very beautiful person, and she continues to be.
How is she as a mother?
He caught himself.
Yeah.
Was, and she continues to be.
As it was or is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And she continues to be.
How is she as a mother?
She was a great mother. I think she was an excellent mother, and I hope that she continues to be an excellent mother.
Past tense, then future tense. Like, he keeps catching himself.
Yeah.
She was. I mean, is.
Right, that whole thing. Right. Yeah.
Oh, she was a great is a great person.
Right, she still is.
She'll continue to be a great person.
Right, because she's still here.
Yeah.
Hope that...
Go ahead.
Hope that she continues to be an excellent mother.
Do you believe Jennifer is alive?
No, first of all, does anybody think that this guy hopes that she really returns?
No.
Right. All right, go ahead.
Do you believe Jennifer is alive?
I do.
Against all circumstantial evidence.
His eyes, when he says this, they do this like, did you hear that sound?
That was Ashley's eyeballs.
Irate at photostulos right now.
You want to just keep your hands down.
His eyes shifted.
Right.
Quickly. Like,
yeah.
You know, you do that like, I don't know. We're going to have that person on who analyzes all that in an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she'll explain it to us. But the eyes just did one of those. Like, I have to think what to say.
Like a shimmy.
Yeah, it wasn't a clear look into the camera. Yes.
Right.
It was.
Yep, exactly.
They did the little.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Do you believe Jennifer is alive?
I do.
Against all circumstantial evidence or common understanding? Of
I'd like not to discuss this.
But in your mind,
for my attorney's advice. So I think
I understand. But in your mind, she's alive.
Yes.
What happened? What went
in your mind?
Yeah. Okay. In his mind. Now, in reality.
Right. Go ahead.
What happened? What went catastrophically wrong in the marriage?
Nothing went catastrophically wrong. It's just people sometimes grow apart.
Meaning you start having sex with someone you're working with or at a ski lodge. And then, that's it, right? He started having sex with the girl who was working at the ski lodge. He meets her there, and then he brings her into his company.
Right.
Yeah, that people grow apart, you know.
Valued employee.
Because then there's this girl in between me and my wife.
Right,
so we're now not right next to each other.
You're apart.
She has to be a couple feet away because Michelle's over here and Jennifer's over there.
So it's kind of right. They are apart.
Right.
Who can explain how these things happen?
Right.
And I'm not putting the blame in her or me. It just happens, and it happens.
I put the blame on you.
It just happens.
Like, why are you doing this interview? You're doing it to talk to potential jurors here and let them see that you're not the monster, right?
I'm human.
So go on and say, yeah, this is it's my fault this marriage came apart. I blame myself.
Would have been a better
way
to go.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it would have been a better way to go.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not her fault. It's not my fault.
Right. I met somebody and boom.
Right.
He could use a little humility right now.
That, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I'm human. I weakened.
And I'm not putting the blame in her or me. It just happens, and it happens all the time.
But it never did get settled, did it, the divorce?
No, it didn't. And that was going to be an amicable divorce.
Oh, and then that's one day a joke. So the only thing I'm getting here as I'm watching this guy has no trouble lying. None.
Smooth.
None.
Smooth.
He doesn't even sit there and say, you know, I'm going to tell the truth on some of these things that aren't going to make me look great.
Right.
But at least people will think I'm someone who could tell the truth, even if the truth is tough to swallow.
Yeah. Didn't go that route.
Take a look at these divorce filings. 2 years of divorce filings.
That's not amicable.
No.
Amicable is like, no. 45 minutes.
Right. This was war. This was, oh, yeah.
Right.
Not
missile
giving you
strike.
An inch.
Right.
Missile strike.
Return
missile
strike.
Return fire.
Hey.
Missile strike. Oh, this was about as contentious as it gets.
Yes.
To the point she disappears and is probably dead. That's not peaceful.
Right. Yeah, define peace.
It was not.
What is peace to you?
It's a great question, AJ. Maybe he just has a different definition than we do.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
No, it didn't. And that was going to be an amicable divorce. And then one day she just took the children and disappeared. She hired bodyguards and she ran to New York.
Kids are gone.
Yeah.
And where is she?
Okay, wait. You got to ask this. These reporters. Wait, she hired bodyguards.
Yeah, if it was amicable divorce.
Right. Why would she hire bodyguards? You just have to get them on.
Yeah.
Right, because if you ask him enough questions now, he's going to start putting her down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He's trying. I'm not blaming her. I'm not blaming me. But
right.
2 minutes later, you could get this guy to say, well, because she was crazy. If this guy pushed Fotis during that segment, he would have went bananas on camera. Like,
yeah.
This guy can't hold his stuff together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like me when you call in and you're not on the mouthpiece and you're not ready to start talking.
Exactly.
And you're going to start from the beginning when you could start closer to the end. Like, you know, you could set me off in 2 seconds. This guy was easy.
Yeah.
I could sense it right there.
Yeah.
Oh, hire bodyguards. Why would she hire bodyguards if she wasn't afraid of your temper?
Yeah.
Which is mentioned like a million times in court documents.
Right. It was so amicable, how she was bodyguards.
Oh, yeah. You'd be able to watch, like, you know, the thermometer going up.
Yep.
You'd be able to say, oh, he's about to go. He's about to go.
Exactly right.
We're only like 55 seconds into like this like 3 minute thing that he did.
I know, but we're making good points.
Yes, we are.
But you have to be somewhere?
I'm just saying. There's a lot left.
All right.
I want you to pace the part of it.
Pace the boom?
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Kids are gone.
Yeah.
And where is she?
With the kids.
And you made a 911 call about it.
I did, because I didn't know what happened. I was completely taken by surprise. She filed a restraining order against me.
Why would she file a restraining order?
That was amicable.
Where are the follow-ups here?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even need this guy. There's no follow-up.
Was it scripted?
Like, I think it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think
why
it was
you
Norm
ask?
Had to approve to questions because there's no follow. Here's a question.
Yeah.
There's an answer. Here's another question. Here's an answer.
No follow-ups.
Why would there be a restraining order?
Right. Why would you need bodyguards?
Right. Why would you need bodyguards? Why would she just disappear?
Right.
Why would you call that amicable?
Exactly. Right.
That doesn't sound like it to me.
Doesn't
sound like it to you?
Spell amicable.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A restraining order against me. That restraining order was shut down because it was based on information that was false, that I had passports, that I was going to run away.
Some very harsh documents, words from her in the court records. He frightens me, his sense of revenge.
Mm-hmm. There was never, never, never any violence, any abuse in any way Jennifer and I didn't even really argue all these years.
Oh!
Didn't even argue, Chaz.
Follow up. Wait. You never argued.
Were you really married?
Okay. Maybe this reporter's not following up because, like, Fotis is sitting near, like, a dining set with, like, forks and knives.
Maybe.
Like, I am not pissing this guy off.
Maybe.
Wow. All right, go ahead.
This is the beginning of the second part of the clip. So they ask about the money that her family, I guess, loaned him. He denied owing it, and then they pick up the conversation here.
Right.
I would lie to you if I told you that I didn't have a very nice life. I had a beautiful life. I was with somebody that I was completely enamored with, Michelle. And
why would you say that?
Really? This is the part you do details on?
Right. I had a beautiful life. I was enamored with her.
Right.
Michelle. Mm. Right. Just say, Jennifer and I had the most beautiful marriage, and we just grew apart, and I blame myself. Work got involved. Work got in the way. Five kids. Difficult.
Right.
And horribly sad. And it was a difficult divorce. People go through difficult divorces. And then this. And I don't know what to do now.
That much better.
Oh, yeah. I was having a great life with my new girlfriend that I met at a skiing lodge.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't have mentioned that part.
Then hired for my company.
Shouldn't have mentioned that part, no.
And then my wife found out, was having an affair, then moved her into the house after. Yeah. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Completely enamored with Michelle. And the divorce was the only thing that wasn't a positive in my life, and I couldn't wait for it to be
disappear.
Over with.
I don't know how this guy helped himself.
No.
That wasn't a positive in my life, and I couldn't wait for it to be over with.
To be over with. Little echo. Dun.
Exactly. I was missing a little thing.
Oh, yeah. My. And I couldn't wait for it to be over with. Dun. Dun. Yeah. No, we could tell you couldn't wait.
Right.
You couldn't wait for it to work its way out through the court system.
Yeah, Mr. Impatient here.
But right now, my life is a mess. And I absolutely had no desire or
this
interest.
Hold on a second. This is a guy whose five kids don't have a mom. And he's like, my life is a mess.
Me.
Remember the BP oil spill? Right?
Yes.
And the guy... Like, a bunch of people died on the oil rig.
Yeah.
And he's doing press conferences every day. And he's like, well, I can't wait to get my life back. Like, this was an inconvenience for him to do these press conferences.
Yeah, some lives were taken.
Right. There's some people who aren't going to get their lives back.
Right.
Like, this guy's like, yeah, this is my life's a mess now. Oh, really? Because there's a mom that's wish she had one that could be a mess.
Yeah, that has no life.
Right. Go ahead.
Absolutely had no desire or interest to be in this mess.
You're now required to wear a monitoring device. What is psychologically, what does that do to you, Fotis?
I have nothing to hide.
I don't understand that question. Like, psychologically, what does that do to you?
Is it like a good cop, bad cop move?
Is he trying to say, like, does that make you angry?
Right.
I don't know. What's the point? Right. You got to wear a bracelet.
Right. So one leg's heavier.
I gave, the police says that I didn't cooperate with them. I actually went there and gave them my phone, willingly. They've been
from
in my
house.
From
which they got a lot of information, you know.
An attorney emailed me and said that could be a problem right there. He admitted on tape he gave the phone willingly.
Oops.
And Norm was disputing, like, hey, that evidence has to be tossed out because he gave you the phone, but not gave you the phone.
Right, yeah.
He handed you the phone so you could look at it. But he didn't give it to you.
Right.
No, I heard give.
Yeah, I did too.
He messed up.
Yeah, but nothing that I didn't want them to have. They have...
Nothing I didn't
this
want them to have.
This guy has no problem lying.
No.
They got nothing that he didn't want them to have? What about all the garbage bags in Hartford? Like, they'd have nothing... If they didn't get his phone.
Yeah.
No, you gave a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, but nothing that I didn't want them to have. They have all my computers, so... Nothing to hide.
So you know they're building a circumstantial case against you when they talk about expecting to file more charges. And as your attorney
said, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're not going to go there. I cannot talk about that.
But at some point you will have to talk about it. You'll have to explain some things.
I'm sure. And I will follow the lead of my attorney and, you know, take his guidance.
Fotis, did you have anything to do with Jennifer's disappearance?
I did not, but I'd like to leave it at that.
All right, but you can say that much.
Absolutely. I wish she were here to sort this mess out.
Is this bananas?
Yep.
Is this bananas?
Wish she was here to sort me. Yeah, because I'm in trouble here.
I wish she could come and sort this out. Oh, really? Do you really wish she'd knock on the door and tell us everything that happened right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
And I'm still hoping that she's going to show up.
That she's going to be at your door someday.
Maybe not at my door, but at some door, yes.
At some door.
Oh,
maybe a door near you.
I don't want her to talk to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if you put your client out there like that, you want it to help. You want people to watch it and say, you know, maybe it's not everything that I'm seeing.
Right. Creating reasonable doubt.
It did the opposite. Yeah. It just made me feel worse about this guy.
I agree. Yeah. I thought this was the statement of the whole thing.
Yeah, but nothing that I didn't want them to have.
Because earlier he said he had nothing to hide. You know, I'm here to help the police. I gave my phone over.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing that I didn't want them to have. Well, what didn't you want them to have then?
Right.
That's a terrible statement.
No, and it shows you that he feels like he's in control of all of this.
Totally in
control.
And
that he's smarter than everybody else. And he's saying, oh, no, they didn't get me.
Nope.
They got nothing that I didn't want them to have.
Right.
Wow. The missing mom case was featured on Dateline NBC last night. Husband Fotis Doulis was on. Was he truthful? Deception Detective Susan Constantine, what did you think?
Thank you so much for inviting me. There were a couple clips that I thought were really important. And overall, he was a great performer. I mean, he didn't show a lot of what we call your typical deceptive indicators, what we look for, clusters of two or three different nonverbal movements mixed with some verbal mistakes within a very short period of time when a very serious, you know, probative question is asked. He seemed to keep his cool pretty well, so that betrayed him was in what he said. There were a couple of incidences where I felt gave me pause in what we look for, and there was an admission very much like O.J. Simpson had said when he was asked if he had anything to do with the murder of his wife, and he said, if I were to have killed her. Well, what he said was, when he was asked the question, he says, I did not. So, you know, thinking, well, he said he didn't do it. Well, no, he didn't. What he said is, the first word that came out of his mouth was I. The second word was did. So he said, I did, and then not. So the answer to that question should have been no, not I did not. So when we look at the order of those words, I did not, I did was an admission, not was just an add-on.
Wow.
So saying no would have been better.
No would be better. And the other thing is that I didn't would have been better than I did not. So you have to understand how the subconscious mind works. It literally selects every word for you because your subconscious pulls it out. That's why it's super important, the order of the words, the pronouns of the words, and then what they say in that order. And with that, directly after he says, I did not, then you see him smile. So that's also called duping delight. You know, when a person feels like they were able to pull something over on someone, they actually reward themselves. So they get this momentary sense of joy, and it leaks out very quickly, and then it's concealed.
Let me play that clip. And then we'll go on to the next thing.
Fotis, did you have anything to do with Jennifer's disappearance?
I did not, but I'd like to leave it at that.
Yeah. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't do what you do.
Right, that statement in Allison.
Man.
Yes, most people, and it's funny because I sat down and I said to my husband, I said, well, you just admitted to it right here. So he goes, what? And I said, here, I did not. So it's in the order of the words. And he's
your husband has to have a nightmare social. Of a life.
Yep.
Just like, oh, my God, did you have beers with your friends? I did not. No.
Just shake your head side to side.
Right. And so you see his head kind of shaking slightly up and down, too. He didn't turn his head side to side like I did not.
Oh.
Look at the clip.
is good stuff.
Wow.
It is good stuff. So this is how...
So a normal person would have just said no. Like a person who didn't do it would have just said, yeah. Like, did you do it? No.
No.
Right.
It wouldn't be, I did not.
That's not an answer. That's not an answer. The question was, did he do it? That was a yes or no, question. And he didn't answer it that way.
Wow.
He didn't. So he says, I did not. So the subconscious mind selected that because he knows more than what he's telling us. And so when you know the truth and you try to conjure up something that's not true, it always leaks out somewhere within their nonverbal words, nonverbal communication, or their content of their words.
That's amazing.
And this was, it was pretty cool.
That is amazing. Wait, you're a ninja.
You're good, you.
All right. You said there was another moment in this.
Yes. And so Mother Wesley was asked about, you know, her coming back, and he says, she's going to show up. The word show up is a really unusual word to for someone that's been missing. I mean, to show up is a very passive word. It means to maybe to appear, you know, to kind of a glimpse of. Or, show up is not a word that somebody would say when their wife, if their missing wife would come home. You know, the proper way that somebody says, yes, answer yes. My hope is that she comes home, not that she just shows up on my doorstep or maybe somebody else.
And shows up could mean the body turns up.
Yeah,
exactly. And that was the next thing I was going to say. Usually when something shows up, to me that was a concealment. Like it will show up, like it will appear.
It's been hidden.
Yes, exactly. Got it?
Let's play the clip.
And I'm still hoping that she's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see any cues in that clip that he's lying? Because clearly he would not want her to show up or turn up.
No, and see, here's the thing with him is he is a very good liar. So for a person that is not skilled in content analysis and body language training, he does a pretty good job. So that you're looking for those deviations. And he shows them. So he's obviously practiced this several times to be able to be very fluid in it. So I'm looking for little clusters of things. And he doesn't really show them. It's really more betrayed in his words and very micro leakages. So it's in that fine analysis that you can find the deception. But he's pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I was watching his segment on the special, and I thought that he was saying a lot of things that weren't true. Like, of course, you don't want her to show up. And there were things through the marriage he was saying. It was, we never argued.
Yeah.
Or a lot of things that you just know aren't true.
Yeah.
And he was easily.
Well, when you say we never argue, never is like an absolute. So the fact that he uses the word never, people use that to bolster. And just like he used it to bolster when he used what we call a third-person gimmick, you know, you can ask my friends in Greece, you can ask people that are around me. Usually he uses people that lie, use other people to come to their defense. So they feel like they have to bolster. So bolstering is a big one. He uses another one where he says, I seriously had to pinch myself when he realized, you know, that he was stuck in that orange suit. Well, when he used the word seriously, that's another bolstering word. You know, he could have said and made the same impact and said, I had to pinch myself or I pinched myself. But then he says, I pinched myself a couple of times. So, I mean, visualize that. just kind of visualize that a moment.
Right.
I literally took my fingers and pinched myself. So the word, people use bolstering words before a another word. So, like, for example, I did a super good job. Well, you know, super good and good are about the same. They have the same impact. So when you say I fully had to pinch myself, he's trying to convince you that this was like really intense, which it was. But when you are in those moments, your emotion is not at the front of your concern. Your emotions show up and displayed afterwards. So we are, you know, when you are in that fight or flight response, you're concerned, you're worried about what's happening. You are not talking about how worried you are. You're more in action.
Tone from Bridgeport's on. He makes a good point. He's playing devil's advocate here. English is not this guy's primary language.
Yes.
So could we be dealing?
It doesn't matter. Does not matter. Because what you're looking for, even though his English is not his best language, there's still that pause between each one of the words is where their eye movements go, which you saw him, his eyes kind of flutter back and forth very quickly because they had to think about it when he said, I did not. And again, it was universally a yes or no question. So there, he was able to speak very clearly in English language to say, I did not. And historically, when we see this in other liars, this is the kinds of comments that they make.
Give us an example of, you know, some lie that we saw, like a Bill Clinton or some kind of a moment where we all witnessed it.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Oh, he did say I did. Right.
Yeah,
you're
I did
right.
not, yeah.
You're right.
I did not. Yeah.
And that was a prepared statement.
It was, yeah.
Right. So they thought he had to bolster it. I did not. And he pointed his finger and he locked his eyes, you know, so he was trying to convince rather than convey. So that's a huge one that we use a lot in detecting deception because it's clearly a contracture. It's what we look for, I did not versus I didn't. I didn't is much more appropriate than I did not because the two words are admissions. And then when you really understand statement analysis to us that are trained that way, it's a clear giveaway.
Well, this is fascinating, and we want to have you back on the show as much as we can. SusanConstantine.com is the website. She offers classes in reading body language.
You got to watch just, my
man.
My I've got a documentary that's coming out on Reels this weekend. It's on Friday night, so it's a 1 hour documentary on another case. It's called Capturing Christopher Watson. I break it all down for you and show you all the cues of deception.
Oh wow!
So tune into that one.
Did you watch it? I did not.
No, it's going to be on this. It's going to be this Friday.
All right. Thank you very much. We're linked up to SusanConstantine.com at WPLR.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Right. Just wanted to try it out.
Holy smokes.
Wow. She's good.
She rules.
Did you come right, huh? I did not. Yeah. You got me.
Just saying yes or no from now on. Just yes and no. And look straight ahead. Probably close your eyes. Say yes.
Boy, she was good.
Yep.
All right, that'll be up as a podcast if you just caught the last part of it. The deception detective went through the Photostulis segment of Dateline NBC last night, and wowie. All right, we got to play this, then we'll go. Hurricane Dorian kid.
Yes.
Gets trip to Disney World. AJ called this one, right?
Yep.
So he was a kid. What was the story? Like, he saved up his money to go to Disney.
Right,
and then
for birthday.
Hurricane Dorian came. And then he was, as people were evacuating, giving out refreshments.
He
used
bought
the money.
Snacks. For people who were evacuating to have something to eat as they're traveling.
Right.
He's such a good kid.
It seems like a nice thing to do.
No.
You don't think so?
He's working the system. Yeah.
Right. So you knew You think he knew if he did this, he'd get this trip.
Be on the news, and then Disney's going to see us on the news and be like, well, what a good boy. We have to reward such great behavior. So instead of having this cheap-ass trip for this money he probably didn't have enough money for to save up.
How much money can, like, a seven-year-old save up?
He had, like, maybe, like, 30 bucks, I think it was, that he saved up. So instead, he ends up with a deluxe, you know, package.
He did parlay that $7.
Yes, he did.
Whatever he did.
He's good.
I don't know how much money it was, but he parlayed that into
a
world-class Disney vacation.
But he worked the system, yes.
Right. He would be the opposite of a jerk.
Yeah, no, he's slick. The kid's slick.
It's not a jerk. He's got jerk-like tendencies.
He's a slick person.
I think in your soul, you're just craving a trip to Disney. I think you're jealous.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm not.
No, he just hates kids.
He's slick when slick.
All right, and what's this clip we're playing?
I think it was Today Show or something.
Oh, they surprised him on his birthday right after he did an interview with Good Morning America.
Hi. Are you Jermaine?
Yes, ma'am.
We have a big surprise for you. Do you guys want to follow me out here? All right, come on out.
Mickey came out.
Can we stop 1 second?
Sure.
I just want to take every producer of sound who puts music in the back of moments that could be special, and I want to put them on wherever it would probably fill multiple buses and then drive those buses off of the Grand Canyon.
Did you drive it off the canyon?
Like,
I did
why
not.
Would you crank up music so loud? Like, you're giving... This is a moment.
Right.
Leave the moment alone.
Right.
Clip it here, clip it there, and then send it out. Don't I'm going to put my fancy touch on it now.
Exactly. Make it more dynamic.
It used to be background. Like, when the conversation ended and they had to show a bunch of stuff happening, they'd, like, fill it there, and then they drop it out again and let the conversation... And now it just plays straight through.
Right.
Yep. And loud.
Yeah.
Very loud.
To where you're fighting to listen.
So loud.
All right.
We have a big surprise for you. Do you guys want to follow me out here? All right, come on out.
Mickey came out. I was just really happy.
Mickey Mouse and his gang heard that your original plan was to spend your birthday at Walt Disney World. As a gift to you, we want you to come enjoy a getaway at the Walt Disney World Resort later this month.
Really exciting because I wanted to go to Disney in a long time.
Hold on. Can you back that up a little bit? And let's get AJ, the truth detector, here, and he's going to analyze what's being said, and then he's going to tell us what was really said. All right, go ahead.
Enjoy a getaway at the Walt Disney World Resort later this month.
Really exciting because I wanted to go to Disney in a long time. Be strong, and if you do good things, you will be rewarded.
I didn't have the money at all ever, so that's why I decided to work the system and play on you fools and your hearts, and ha ha ha, Disney fell for it.
I got you, sucker.
Exactly, right. Ha ha ha, you idiot.
So you basically heard the same thing you heard before you heard him talk.
Exactly right.
We uncovered some audio I want to play for you. This is from the Zach Brown Band concert at Xfinity Sunday. And an amazing vocalist has been discovered singing along to the band in the audience.
Can't hear
is that
the person.
You?
Yeah, I think so.
You can't hear the person because Ashley. The amazing person that drowned entirely because Ashley.
I know.
Imagine that. When the band goes, hey, you shut up.
But you sound like this.
Right.
I had a few drinks.
Is that your drunk voice?
Your drunk voice is like the Wizard of Oz.
I was screaming.
You have a Brazil nut stuck down your throat.
No one would know. Oh, my God. Is she choking on a nut?
Exactly. EMTs are going, oh, my God.
Nah, she's just drunk.
Yeah. It's just her singing voice. I'm actually impressed that you came in with a voice.
Yeah.
After listening to that.
Yeah, go ahead, play it again. Oh, you didn't get the end?
Well, she took it to the limit.
That was...
Took it to the limit.
Yep.
That was it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I cannot carry a tune.
They vowed not to play her again, by the way.
I just can't get over how much your voice sounds like this.
Yeah.
Screaming as loud as
Do you
as
even
I
know what the words
could.
Are?
Yeah.
That was Howard Don't Care.
Yes, that was also.
Well, what are the words there?
Take it to the limit one more time?
No.
Leading up to it? In other words?
Yeah.
Leading up to that part.
No, go ahead. Play it again, please. Right there. You turn it out. Turn it. Like, I don't even know what's being said
West,
there.
West, West.
Boy. What are the words right there?
Turn it out, burn it out, save me? Something like that?
Turn it out to burn it out to save me?
Something like that.
Okay, yes. Like I said, you don't know the words.
That's probably not it. That's probably not it, no.
Wow.
Mm. the band said, wow. What words is she singing? Right. What the hell? I thought it was an Eagle song.
I was screaming all night long.
Didn't notice. When you slip at the end?
Yeah. No, that's her backup vocal. Yeah. Woo!
That was an ice cube she stepped on. Woo!
Yeah.
Down she goes. Your goose at the end there. Woo! 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 Woo!
I want to do it again, just not on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was so good. The concert was so good.
Damn, that work had to get up early for.
Well, who comes, harsh
to
who buzz. Comes on a Sunday? Like, that's a silly decision.
Who does
decision.
A show on a Sunday?
Yeah, come on, Zach. Help me out here.
Yeah. I'm Zach. Jerk. Yeah. She's singing notes that haven't been written yet.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. In this clip, and we posted it on our Chaz and AJ Instagram, when Zach Brown is walking around and touching people in the audience and stuff, he doesn't come anywhere near her section.
Well, the sound waves are pushing him back.
Right. Imagine if he did. Like, her voice might come over his microphone.
And we're going, ah! Like, feedback.
I actually just missed touching him. I'm a little bit upset over it.
The security guard got in the way?
No. So I came back from this whole phone debacle and, like, you know, like I'm...
You lost your phone in the bathroom.
Yes. Right.
Ran on a trip, found it, then...
Right. Yep. Hold on. I'm pushing my way. Eric and I are kind of pushing our way through the pit to get to Lisa and Chris, who were there with.
Back where you were before.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And we had gotten basically to the same area. We were right behind the people we went with. And Zach came over during a different song and bent over and, like, touched everybody in that area, and I was just out of reach. And because I had left and come back, I wasn't, like, in the exact same place, and I'm upset about
that,
it.
Wait, those inches
cost you. Mattered.
So he bent over and touched everybody in your area? What?
Touched everybody in that area.
It's that time of year, AJ. Exactly.
Boom.
We have some ghost sound here. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR.
That's a restroom, actually.
We have David Bray, co-founder and lead investigator of Eastern Connecticut Paranormal Society. Co-founder Chris is in the studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. What's this first sound we're going to hear?
We sent you two, so I actually don't know which one you're going to play first.
All right, which one are we going to play?
One's going to be a ghost.
Yeah. This is the Do It clip.
All right, so what is this?
Do It. Okay, so this was taken at a house that's known as the Enfield Demon House in Enfield, Connecticut.
The Enfield Demon House?
Yeah, that's what it says out front.
It's known as the Enfield Demon
House.
It's
on the mailbox.
Yep, it's been on TV.
I feel like, you know, we should all get a memo on this.
Right.
Like, I drive through Enfield. I don't want to drive by the Enfield Demon House.
Yeah, I want the Modus Happy House.
Yeah, yeah. Most people don't like to drive by it, actually. It's actually where Chris and I met. During an investigation on Halloween in 2015.
So you guys are both there looking for the same demon?
Right. Long story short, we actually weren't there during the initial bout that they had activity going on with.
Right.
But there's been over 30 deaths in the house that we know of.
Ooh. 30?
That house is evil. Evil! Evil!
homicides, suicides, sudden accidents, illnesses, things like that.
How many living units are in the building?
It's a duplex.
A duplex.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's 15 perplex. No. The whole thing's perplexing.
I believe
oh my God.
This clip,
Abel!
It is, you're going to hear me ask a question to someone named Charles.
Enfield
and
Demon
then,
House.
Okay. Yep, write it down.
Okay, wait. So over 30 deaths.
Right.
Two-unit house.
Right.
How long has this house been around?
1700s.
Oh,
like
well.
1700s.
That's a lot of evil
it's
right
one
there.
Of them.
That's ages of evil right there. Yeah.
What is it about those? Those ghosts linger, man.
They do. They do. Really stubborn.
Really?
They don't let go equity at all, ever, back then.
Yeah.
First thing you learn back then. They actually texted you to meet at the Enfield Evil House. Yes.
Yeah, meet at the Enfield. Yeah, this is where they all stay.
I will meet you at the Enfield Evil House.
Yeah, I'm a demon. I'm going from Boston to New York. You got any places you recommend I could stay?
It's just right here. Go to the Enfield Evil House.
Oh, the Enfield Demon
House.
It's a
duplex, so you're good.
Right.
Well, they're from the era of settlers, you know, so they're settled down. They're
exactly.
not leaving. Like, this is it.
Exactly. We planted the corn here, God damn it.
How many, all right, so there's been over 30 deaths. How many demons are in this house?
Again, I have no idea. The reverend that actually got rid of whatever was in the home claimed there was just one.
Okay. But, one's enough, though,
but
right?
Well, safe, well yeah. we've been in there even after supposedly it was removed.
Did
and
you feel like
hell? It's not a very pleasant home.
Well,
what do you mean, like, not
like
pleasant?
It's just, it's,
describe
you walk
pleasant.
In, it's like you're walking through a heavy veil. Oh. It's extremely heavy. You just, you get
oh,
a
wow.
sense of depression, dread.
Right.
As soon as you walk in.
I've right. had
that was
a couple of people who were supposed psychics come in with me, and they lasted about an hour, and they said they had to leave.
Really? What, too much noise?
Yeah, too much traffic in their head.
It's like
nauseous,
listening to
yeah.
like 80 different radio stations at the same time.
That's the worst, yeah. isn't it?
Just a drain on your psyche, I imagine.
Right. That and there's no toilet paper.
Wow.
And terrible coffee.
It'll mess you up.
Holy crap.
And catalyst.
So 2015, Halloween, yes. you guys are both there.
Yep.
You don't know each other, and you run. Oh, you're looking for a demon? Yeah, I'm looking for a demon, too.
You
yeah.
want the Enfield
right.
Demon
you
House.
You want demons? I want demons.
You want the Enfield Evil House.
And that's how they combined forces. It was almost like Ghostbusters.
Right.
It's like, why don't we combine forces?
Put your wrist in. Okay.
That is kind of,
is that
kind of
what
actually,
happened?
Yeah.
Nice.
But the clip you're going to hear, I think I asked someone named Charles a question. Charles was a man who lived in the house in the 1920s. And
how did you know the guy, the demon's name is? Are you talking to a demon or a ghost?
No, what this was a human that lived in the home.
Oh, are you talking to a real person?
Okay.
Yes.
You actually touched this person.
Well,
yeah, like you did this.
Yeah.
You did the whole
yeah.
your finger to the chest.
Why are you poking my chest?
Right.
But this person killed two people and then walked back into the home, and he shot himself in front of his 8-year-old son.
Oh.
And so his name was Charles. We have a record of him. And supposedly he was hearing voices in the home telling him to do stuff.
Oh.
So I'll leave it at that. So when you play the clip, hopefully you can hear what we hear.
Okay. So Charles isn't with you. He's okay.
Correct. He's
but
dead.
He was a real person. Killed his 8-year-old son.
Oh.
Said
no,
he
killed himself in front of his 8-year-old son.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Just want to reiterate.
Right.
Yeah.
Killed
okay.
two people, then came back, killed himself.
Right. He came yes. the other way around.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha. And then we're going to hear his voice now in this clip.
I wouldn't say it might be his voice.
Again, now, when you're talking.
Lip syncing.
And asking questions, and the ghost replies. Do you hear it right then, or do you hear it later when you listen back to
Depends.
The thing?
Depends. We can do like a live listening where we actually plug headphones into our recorder, and then we can hear it live. But usually we don't hear it until after
later.
We...
Jeez.
That's
yeah.
a studio remix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we do that again, Charles?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
What did he say?
He said, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Right.
Do it.
Play a song, The Hustle. Do, 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 do.
Do it. Do it.
Do,
do it.
Do, 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 do.
Do it. What is it? Is it possible that they're listening to The Hustle?
Right.
Right?
Da, 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 da. Yep. Do The Hustle.
Do it.
Just do it. Anything's possible.
It's true. Yeah. It was the 70s. It was the 70s.
I like that Dave has realized that some of this is going to be stupid.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you like.
No, I believe in spirits and ghosts. I really do. We should put
oh
that
my
to the
God,
song,
that voice sounds evil.
Yeah, they were saying it in a nice voice. How come they never tell you to do something positive, like go out there and be a good person someday?
Have a donut.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cut the lawn. Right. They never say pizza.
Right.
Trim your nose hair.
Make some cookies.
Wash right. your feet, for Christ's sake. All right. Can we hear that again?
Can we do that again, Charles?
Oh, what's
yeah.
that?
All right. So that's actually, it's called a spirit box. It essentially just scans radio frequencies. And spirits supposedly can come through on the white noise that's what you're hearing.
Wow.
That's static. But this EVP, electronic voice phenomenon that we captured that says do it, was not from that piece of equipment.
Is that why the movie was one that Poltergeist, when the TV's all like fuzzy, we heard the voice of Carol Ann? It was always
same concept.
Okay.
It's just an actual device that supposedly allows us to communicate with spirits.
Holy gotcha.
Crap.
But we can get into that too.
Wow.
Can you play that again?
Do it.
Yeah, that's clear. That's clear. That's evil.
Did you hear that while you were there, or you heard that later?
No, this was actually captured by one of our guest investigators at the time, this woman, Anna. And she had her an audio recorder, Olympus recorder, in her hand while we were doing this spirit box session. And when we listened to it later on, that's what we heard.
I heard do it.
Yep.
Then Nike grabbed it.
Right.
Put the word just. Those bastards.
$1 billion later.
Exactly right. Now that ghost is really pissed.
This next clip, what are we going to hear?
You're going to hear another EVP. It's a voice that says, I said you will be mine. Now, the context of this case.
Axl Rose.
So, yeah. So
Mick Jagger.
It was an 18-year-old kid who was a straight-A student, track athlete, senior year. And his mother called us, said he's suddenly failing classes. He quit the track team and he's no longer going to graduate. We got called out there. They thought it was something weird was going on. We're sat down, talked to him, and this all started when
he seemed like a normal kid when you saw him, or was he
very normal, very intelligent.
Okay.
And you know, when did all this start? And he says he was looking up how to balance his chakras, so his energy centers.
Okay.
And so he started looking into all these types of meditations.
It's kind of a weird thing to say, right?
Yeah, well, not in my world, I guess. But
all right, well.
I didn't know the word existed. But
my son said, I'm trying to balance my chakras. I'd be like,
is that a metaphor for something?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
So it actually means wheel or vortex in Sanskrit.
Huh.
Okay.
So the more you know. But so he didn't really know what he was doing. And he starts doing all these meditations and chanting and... All of a sudden, he claims he was being possessed by demons. And, of course, we think more mental illness at first. He was hearing voices telling him to do things. 18 is a prime age for onset of schizophrenia. So we were very aware of that. But when we were there, we did capture this recording that you're going to hear.
And the recording, what we hear, is it going to be his voice or some other voice?
We don't know whose voice it is.
Oh. Were his lips moving? When...
No. Nope.
Wow.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
And this is the only recording we captured throughout the entire day, and we have it corroborated with video footage of him while this recording was captured.
Oh, wow.
You see he's not talking at all.
Okay. Wow, I heard that.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
But there's this rah, 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 on top of it. That's scary, too.
That was a burp I had. Sorry.
What does that sound?
That's just the way the recording came out, I guess. The raw file was like that.
Yeah. So.
That's weird. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
So, yeah, I think it's weird.
Yeah.
No, like the whole thing is weird.
Yeah.
I know when you hear a voice saying, I said you will be mine, that's weird.
Yes.
But also the...
Exactly.
We can't deny that that's also... It's like, all right, well, there's two weird things going on here.
That was the dog.
That was a truck hitting... That was a truck hitting the noise strips inside the road.
It's layered with weird.
Holy crap, man.
What his claims were. So he was claiming that something was essentially... would not let go of him.
Right.
And then we get there and we get this, I said you will be mine recording.
Right. There you go.
So you're possessed. And
then, so what happens to this kid? Well,
so the last update we got, we did some stuff to kind of balance him out. I gave him some rules on meditation, if you will, to do things properly. And he was fine for a little bit. And then last we knew, I think he was actually committed into a psychiatric facility.
Oh,
but here's the thing. He's been under the care of a psychiatrist, and he's been on medications for tons of different stuff, and nothing's helping. He's claiming he's still reaching out to us occasionally, telling us he's still hearing voices, and this is still going on.
That sucks.
That's horrible.
Say, yeah. we can't cross medical lines.
Yeah,
we do what we do. We have to be very careful.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there's a lot to talk to you about.
Yeah,
so we got to have you back.
Definitely.
All right, we're linked up to you guys, EasternParanormal.com. At WPLR.com. Thank you, David. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.